Well, hello, this is Jeff Gagliosi, and you are on MisplacedDraws.com, where music comes to life. My guest today is really one of the great keyboard players in rock. His band American Tears released 3 records in the mid-70s before he ventured off on his own, writing and playing with some of the biggest names in the business. And a few years back, he resurrected the American Tears name and recently put out a great new record called White Flags. Please welcome Mark Mangold. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
And we'll spend some time on White Flags in a minute, but for those who may not be familiar, can you give me a bit of the history of American Tears and how the band first came together?
Yes. American Tears was early 70s to mid-70s. We did 3 records on Columbia Records, fortunately. We were a keyboard trio, they called us a keyboard power trio, whatever that means. But we really were exploring a lot of the keyboards and synths that were actually being invented at the time. We kind of started with the Hammond organ, which was popular, and then synths were invented, and something called the Mellotron, which was a keyboard that actually had tapes in it, where it was recording of whatever it was, meaning an orchestral string section. They had some good flute sounds. And as things were progressing, we would buy one and start using it in our tapestries that we were trying to create at the time. We were, in those days, it was about having a signature sound. It was, I think, maybe even more creative than it is today in kind of the popular circles. Those years gave birth to a lot of great bands, from Yes to Jethro Tull, Deep Purple, you name it. So the goal at that time was to kind of try to be original, be creative. And we were definitely in that world and doing, I guess it's not quite progressive, but they were just songs that we just kind of did what we wanted to do, explore new territory. There were no guitars in the first 2 American Tears albums, so we were definitely exploring the sounds of those instruments and expressing ourselves through that. And the band was a lot about the playing and the virtuosity of the musicians. So, yeah, it was a very fun time.
And it's funny, you mentioned the signature sound, which was definitely the keyboard for American Tears, but yet when you got to that 3rd record, Powerhouse, there was sort of a pretty radical change in direction, the addition of guitar kind of becoming more of a traditional 70s sounding rock band. Was that something you guys evolved into, or was that a record company thing?
That was us. I had for years been standing in front of 12 keyboards, basically the only singer in the band, and I needed some company. It would be nice to have a guitar available on certain things. And I think just the pendulum swung, and we had Craig Brooks on guitar. And on the next record, we actually morphed into a band called Touch and got signed to another label. And we kind of went into a different tapestry, I guess. It was fun for me, working with guitars now and working with 3 singers. We just almost rebelled against the other approach. We had tons of harmonies and a lot of tapestries using other instruments. But the same idea was, I think we were still exploring new territories, just kind of with different tools in a way. And definitely it was, I would say it was probably more commercial having a guitar player. as opposed to being somewhat of, I don't know what the word is, just being different. But I must say, over the last couple of years, I really long for that freedom of just playing keyboards and getting away from formula and just trying to be creative without the constraints of whatever pop is, whatever formula is, whatever you're supposed to do. It's really just opening yourself up a bit more to instinct and doing what you want to do. And on a creative level, you know, you hit a part and you kind of go, what's next? what do I want to hear next? And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be going into the bridge or the chorus or whatever formula exists. It's really tapping into more of a instinctual, maybe even cosmic language that is a lot of fun and scary. Because you don't know who's going to like it. You don't know who's going to like it, or maybe it sucks, but, you know, the idea is not to suck. That's the main goal. Let's not suck.
Yeah, and do you feel that you have a little more creative freedom with the way music is now, where, you know, the big corporations aren't necessarily running it? Do you feel like you have a little more freedom to sort of find that creative zone?
Well, you know, it was always there. It's just a choice of doing it or not. It was pop in those days, you know, in a way. It was what people were trying to do. There were many, many, many record companies, and they were putting a lot of stuff out there, and people were looking for a sound, and really you wanted to see if people liked it. So, yeah, there were years where things got very generic, and the way American Tears is definitely a kind of a rebellion against that generic, whether it be rock or pop. We're not on a major label. So you kind of do it because it's an obsession, really. It's almost like a disease, you know. And once we did hardcore, you know, in 2018, we were like, oh, got to do more. It's so much fun, and it's refreshing in a way, you know. I basically finished another album in the meantime. It's easier to do because you don't necessarily need a big studio to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. In those days, you had to go into a big studio and set up your Hammond organ and mic it and all kinds of more difficult things, whereas now you can get a lot of these sounds in a much more accessible and easier way. So it's easier to be creative and generate this stuff. So it's good time to be a keyboard player.
And on White Flags, as well as your last record, Hardcore, in 2018, you're not just a keyboard player. You literally do everything from writing to playing all the instruments to producing. Do you ever get sort of the itch to put a traditional band back together, or was the plan always to kind of do these as a solo project?
Well, we actually have put a band together now. That's really a function of budget. Mm-hmm. And a function of, it's just not like the old days, you know, where, I don't know, you're growing up in the neighborhood and, you know, someone down the block is like, oh, let's, you know, it's, you need to really have a budget to put together a band or at least somehow be in the same proximity in some way. So, and the thing about Europe where I am now is, this kind of music, and I think rock in general, is way more popular here than it is in the States. And I mean, there's huge festivals here. Even a lot of the old bands who were not huge but were popular in those days in the 80s are still very much alive and touring, and the environment around here for this kind of music is I think, wider. So, but I am now with a great drummer and bass player. I don't think I can mention their names yet, but I really do want to you know, be in it again and play and, you know, do it as a band, because I've always been kind of a band guy. But as I think a function of necessity in a way, it turned out the way it was on the first two. And hopefully we'll, you know, now that people are paying attention, and I think we're getting some very good response, and I'm in shock of people digging the 9-minute songs. It's like, because when you're doing it, you know, it's scary. It's like, you know, this isn't that commercial. I mean, who's going to? So you just try to make it really good. You know, you try to create those tapestries and create those moments, because it is basically just a series of moments. And if somebody gets on the train and takes that journey, I'm hoping that, you know, they take that trip.
Yeah, and really
but yeah, we'd like to share it.
There's a lot of great material on the record. Waltz of the Angels is an amazing song, you know, but for me, that's a beautiful song, but for me, the title track, White Flags, the last song on the record, really stands out. From a lyric perspective, what kind of leads you to a song like that?
What kind of what? I couldn't hear that.
You know, from like a lyrical perspective, what leads you to a song like White Flags?
Well, a lot of the feeling of American Tears, which was existed in the '70s, you know, during after Vietnam and during Nixon times and Watergate, is the same kind of feeling, which kind of led me into the feeling of American Tears, the same kind of feeling that we're in now with the political stuff that's going on. And that led me to think about American Tears, and plus, how do I say it? What I was feeling musically in those days was American Tears. So what I'm feeling now has brought me back to that feeling that for me as a musician, it expressed in American Tears. The White Flags is about surrender. It's about accepting yourself and surrendering to yourself. And really, what are we fighting for? What is going on? Mm-hmm. It's about peace and resolution and surrendering to each other. And making peace, because we are all being manipulated in a way. And my response is, first of all, accept yourself, which is probably the hardest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Allow yourself, because we all have our demons and we've all done things. So once you accept yourself and accept other people, it's not so scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when listening to songs like, you know, especially those two, Waltz of the Angels and White Flags, I think one thing that really impresses me about the record is a lot of times, you know, a keyboard or synth-based record can come off as very cold. But with your songs, you bring the emotion into it and, you know, kind of gives it another texture that you don't normally get from traditional keyboard songs. Is that something that you set out to do?
Yeah. It's about, for me, it's about translating emotion in every song I ever try to write. It'd be nice if I was a guitar player. I'm not, so my tools are kind of keyboards. So I use my tools, but yeah, the goal is to transfer emotion, and there's definitely some anger in this record lyrically, but it does go between anger and peace and resolution and calmness, so it's maybe putting those things together, but I think if I didn't do this record, I don't know what I would do in terms of getting that anger out of me, that catharsis in a way, because, you know, here we are, man. And it was funny, I did an interview the other day on a radio station, and they played a song called Rooftop Man by a band called The Hollow I was in, about, you know, a guy in a roof shooting people. And this was like 1970-something, and the fact that it's still there is so terrible and pisses me off. I mean, you would think that we would evolve into another place, but kind of here we are again, in a way, so.
Right. Yeah. And you mentioned in Europe, I believe you're in Sweden right now as we talk, correct?
Yes, I'm in Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. You know, how it's sort of a different musical landscape there. And again, as I'm listening to the record, you know, it's funny that early in somebody's career, you hear the people that influence them. And then as they grow, you kind of, when you listen to the music, I'm hearing a lot of bands I could tell were influenced by you. And most of them end up being European bands, particularly, you know, Daniel Gildenlow from Pain of Salvation. I really got as the sound from him listening to your records. You know, have you worked with any of those bands and, you know, through Europe and Sweden that really still put this type of music out?
No. I'm not working with any progressive guys here. I work with some rock guys, you know, I kind of, pendulum swings, I do a bunch of stuff. This last couple of years, I've really been focusing on American Jews. Sweden Rock is a great show. I do, AC/DC, and I mean, all these bands are turning you, so you do get a lot of music here, and it's all kind of popular, and the level of talent is huge here, and the level of production is huge here. I don't know if people really know, but a lot of American pop music is Swedes behind it all.
Producers, actually, yeah.
I mean, you know, got from Katy Perry to Gaga, it's, a lot of Swedes are on regions. I mean, Max Martin is a guy who writes probably five out of the top 10 records at any given moment. So it's a great place to be for music. And I don't know, I just launched into the keyboard thing because I just got sick of everything else in a way. So,
And also, you know, in between, you know, these two eras of American tears, you know, you've done a lot. You worked with Michael Bolton in the early years of his career, writing for people like Cher, you know, Paul Rogers when he did his project, The Law. Do you still write for others, or is it now mainly just your songs?
I do actually write for other people. A lot of that is, you know, writing and getting stuff out there and shopping it in a way. And again, that stuff, you know, it's creative in many ways, and you try to make it as creative as possible. That's why I love going back to American Shoes, because they don't have that, those constraints, and like, you can have that freedom. And kind of fuck it. So, in a way, American Tears is rebellion against not I know, low providers and shit and all that, but more of the poppy stuff that I have been writing. I almost hesitate to talk about it. it's a different mood, you know.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
You had mentioned that you already have another record in the can. what's next? Will there be any chance of touring? Will we see you guys stateside?
Yeah, that is the goal. That is the goal, is to put together this band. We want to do a video, and then we want to, you know, reach out to festivals and things like that. Because I think, especially in Europe, some bands I've been in have a little bit of clout, and we could probably get onto some things. And the guys in the band are also have a lot of clout and history as well. So, that's the next goal.
Well, great. Hopefully we'll get to see you over here stateside. And you know, I thank you for taking some time out today. I encourage everyone to check out White Flags from American Tears. It's available streaming through all of the services. You can get physical copies online as well. And Mark, again, thank you for taking the time. Best of luck with the record, and hopefully we can catch you on the road sometime soon.
Thank you, Jeff. It was really a pleasure talking to you. Thanks.
Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Hello?